Mr. Macmillan, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Macmillan?
I was born in Linwood in Scotland, not far from Paisley. Very small village, only two streets.
Your date of birth?
The 13th of January, 1921.
And what family did your father and mother have?
Mother had quite a large family. In fact, they both had quite large. Six or seven in each family. My father from Northern Ireland, Belfast. My mother from Cletamore, which is in England. And I was born in Scotland, so you've got a bit of a mixed bag. I had one brother. That was our family. I had an uncle lived until, I think he was 96.
And was your brother older than you or younger?
No, 4 years younger. Unfortunately, he picked up something when he was in the army in Burma, which eventually caused his death. But that happens in quite a lot of people that were abroad during war, you know.
What did your father do for a living?
He worked on a brickwork, making bricks, building bricks. I think he worked here all his life, as far as I can remember, until he was 73, I believe. Mother kept going until she was about 75.
Did your mother work?
Not to my memory. No, not that, as far as I can remember. No.
Had your father served in the First World War?
Yes, he served with the I think they called them the Royal Enniskillen Fusiliers, which was, I believe, an Irish regiment. And he was out at Wiper? Is that the proper pronunciation? And he never discussed the war a great deal. Which I don't think they did in those days, because I think they'd seen quite a bit of horror. That was the family.
As wages, were they good wages as a brick worker?
No. I remember my father once coming home and saying, I wouldn't be quite sure about this, I think he was paid about £2.50 a week, which in those days, as far as I gather, was quite a wage. But it was hard work. I remember that much, you know. We never had what you call an easy life. But then again, we never had a hard life. So I've got no complaints about my life as a child, really.
The house you lived in, can you tell me about it, its size and content?
The house we lived in, which was typical of Scotland in those days, was a tenement building, which people probably have seen around the Gorbals area of Glasgow and that. It was five levels with one, what they called the close, which led to stairs up to one bedroom, one kitchen, but the kitchen was also dining room, living room, which was typical in those days. Built of red sandstone, which actually is still standing today. I seen it a couple of years ago when I was up in Scotland. I lived there until I left school.
And the area itself, what kind of an area was it you were living in? Working class area, obviously.
It was working class, but there was, other than the brickwork, And another, older people remember this, Coates's Mills, which made the cotton. That was, and one carpet factory, that was about the sole amount of workable places where you could get any work in those days. No buses, all trams, of course. We lived, actually, the tram depot was behind our block of flats. That was at a little village called Eldersley.
What was it like as a child living in a tenement? It must have been rather confining.
Well, it was confining, but we were lucky in the respect that we could get out and there wasn't the traffic on the road. Other than the trams and maybe horse and carts and one or two buses with the solid tyres, which only come about once every hour. So really, it was quite... you had plenty of freedom without worry of being knocked down, like what it is today. There wasn't cars flying past at massive speeds of that. In fact, to own a car in those days, you were classed as a millionaire, or a snob, let's put it that way. Plenty of countryside, farms, golf course, which as usual boys go and pick the golf balls. So nothing really, from the day I was born until I left to go away, the area never changed, not one bit. Small railway station, which the train, only goods trains, I beg your pardon. Other than that, that is much as what was around Linwood and Eldersley in those days. Nothing else at all.
So your playground was the streets, is that right?
Well, it was actually. We didn't have gardens as we knew it. The back garden, of course, there would be, I think in each block there were 7 tenants. So you had your day of what day was your clothesline. And of course in Scotland in those days, no one washed on a Sunday. People nowadays probably don't realise that. But Sunday was strictly taboo for anything. It was a day of rest. One wash house at the bottom of the garden done everyone. Each had their own coal house. And the morning of your washing, when Father got up, he went and put the paper, the sticks, for the boiler, to boil the water. And then from there, the old-fashioned wringer. There was no modern stuff then. Because it was all gas lights until they decided to put electric in. So really, it was...
Had each apartment its own toilets? Did you have your own toilets?
No. There was a toilet on each landing. Now, let me think. I think there was 2 landings with 2 houses on. And another landing with 3 on. So each individual received a key to the toilet on the landing, which, to inform people it was being used, the key was left outside. So when you seen the key outside, you realised it was being used. And everyone took the turn of doing the landing and the stairs to keep them clean.
Were they flush toilets?
Well, when they were, yes. But they were quite dependable, you know. The only problem was that sometimes some people, especially children, because I was one myself, would come out the toilet, leave the key in, and you'd be going saying, oh, I want the toilet, and there was the key stuck in. You didn't like to go and open the door in case there was a lady or something in. So that caused a little bit of problems at times, you know. But there was no such thing as a window in the toilet. It was just a basic toilet, and that was it.
What about water into the various rooms? Were there hot and cold water?
No, only cold. Things like what's it called? To put in your tank to heat your water.
The immersion heater.
Yes, there was no such things. Everything, if you wanted boiling water, right, like anyone wished a wash or a shave, and it had to be boiled in the kettle. And for years it was all gas. So the gas stove was pretty well used in those days.
Did you have electricity?
Later on. They come, I'm not sure, but I think I would be about 12 when they come and put electric in, which was a novelty. We're around switching them off and on, you know.
Gas cooking and gas lighting.
Yes. Which you put the old slip the mantles on, and then you lit the mantle before you put the gas on. And it used to flare and then get its shape as the gas mantle, and then you could light it as a normal light. You not remember then? Well, that was that. And of course, you had to be very careful putting the mantle on, because the least little nook, it disintegrated, you know, and that was that. The beds in the houses were built into the wall part of the house. They weren't out like what we have these modern days. And there were wooden plants, flat slats, you know, with the mattress, but they weren't very comfortable, I can tell you that, compared to what they have in these modern days.
What were the rents like? Were they high?
If I remember, I think it was about 6 shillings per week, which was a considerable money out of some of the wages in those days.
Quite high, isn't it?
It was quite high. Then somehow we managed to blunder through and whatnot, you know. Because you had no school fees. The school where I went to was about 2-3 miles away, which cost a half penny on the tram. But you walked back at night because you couldn't afford the half penny each way every day, which you couldn't out of those things.
It must have been a very cooperative life. You had to get on with people.
Yes,
because you shared everything.
Because you shared landings, toilets, washing facilities. When you opened your door to come out of your sort of flat, we'll say, you were more or less on the doorstep of the flat next to you. So you kept bumping in. I think there was more harmony in those days than what you get today. I don't ever remember people really being upset. Like if people had no washing to, they would come and say, oh, you can use my line today, I'm not using it. Those sort of things, you know. And if during your illness, you always had good neighbours. Because we didn't have the illnesses those days that we have these days. I think they were a tougher lot.
And the sharing of, as you're saying, it didn't cause any arguments. Were there awkward neighbours? Did you have awkward neighbours?
I can't, to be honest, ever remember an awkward neighbours. We had one or two around the whole of all the flats who they may have thought themselves slightly better off because the husbands may have had a better job. But other than that, there was a normal argument over kids fighting, etc. But other than that, there wasn't a great deal of animosity towards each other. No, I think there were better days then than today.
And trust between your neighbours.
Well, as you say yourself, in those days, neighbours, sort of knocked and come in your house. They didn't wait until the door. You could leave your door open quite safely for the likes of the rent man and insurance and things like that. And you could leave the various books out, and they would just take what was theirs. And there wasn't I can't ever remember any burglary in those days. No, I can't honestly do. No.
Entertainment for the adults. The public house, did that have an important part in their social life? Drinking?
Well, as today, you get those that drink and those that don't drink. The main thing, I believe, was the cinema. Or the Boy Scouts or the Boys Brigade, as they had in Scotland. I don't know whether they had them down here, they had the Boys Brigade. There was no, in Scotland then, there was no such things as working men's clubs. And I think most of the men worked too hard to go drinking, which they didn't have the money to do. Football was quite a passion, obviously, in Scotland, you know. Celtic, Rangers, and to just name a couple. Social life. You didn't get as much intervention by do-gooders as what there are today. Everyone seemed to sort their own problems out without calling police and Samaritans and what have you not. Of course, no one had a telephone in those days, so you couldn't call anyone up, you know. The police were pretty tolerant, you know. They would give you a good smack and that was it left. Not like today where they're terrified to hit you, you know.
What role did the church play in your family life?
I think everyone went to church. My father, myself and my brother used to go to church. We had our own pew, as they called them in those days. Mother went to the Salvation Army, which brings me to another thing which may be interesting. When my father died, he asked for the Salvation Army to conduct a burial service, and he was a churchman. When my mother passed away, as a Salvation Army person, she asked for the church person to do the service. I don't think the church come into your life a great deal. Salvation Army did. They used to visit, you know, which they still do today. No, I can't see the church where it had a big hold, the Church of Scotland and the Roman Catholic Church, but...
Well, paying normal bills, you know, food bills, clothing bills, how did your parents cope with that?
Well, we fed quite comfortable. We were clothed quite reasonable. Somehow, mother seemed to balance it out. My father didn't drink or didn't smoke, so that helped. Although cigarettes were quite cheap then. That helped. Oh, we lived quite reasonable. Well, no complaints about that.
What were the leisure activities of a small child? What games were you playing?
Well, mostly as the guardian, football. My father and I and brother used to go and watch every Saturday the cricket, our little local cricket team. I can't remember whether games were allowed on a Sunday in those days in Scotland. I can't quite remember that. I think it was mostly on a Saturday. And I don't think there was such a thing as midweek football matches in those days. Otherwise, it was just The children formed the little gangs and had the little set twos and challenged each other at football and things like that. But other than that, I think we're quite a contented life. More content than I think today.
Did you have a sporting hero?
Well, no. Trying to go back about 70 years and think of a sporting hero as going back.
Children would no doubt have their sporting heroes, their favourite footballer or what have you. Particularly in Scotland with the Scottish team.
I'm trying to think of... Actually, I just can't remember the name. But those days we had people like what we thought of was Don Bradman and Hobbs and Sutcliffe and these sort of people, you know. Local.
It doesn't matter. How old were you when you started school?
In those days, 5.
And you said you had to go on the tram to the local school. What was the name of the school that you went to?
I went to a little school, what was called, it was in Eldersley. It's only a small village with 2 streets. I was there until I was 12. And then what they had in Scotland then was I win a bursary to go to the high school in Paisley, which everyone left in those days when they were 14 years of age. Schooling was quite good, actually. I enjoyed the ordinary elementary school. High school, when they come in with French and Latin, was rather complicated, especially Latin. Could never grasp Latin at all. I couldn't make head nor tail of it. French, not too bad. Mathematics and geography, I thoroughly enjoyed. History, not keen. But struggle through life like that, you know.
And you enjoy school by and large?
I enjoyed school, but I wasn't particularly impressed by the high school. Because I said before, the subjects, like Latin and that, actually after about a year and a half, I was, what was known then, I was expelled from the high school for not paying enough attention. Then for the next 6 months until a year, so I went to a school in Paisley called Carbrook Street. And in that year, I learned more in that school than I had learned in the few years beforehand. It was just an ordinary school, but there were particularly damn good teachers who could explain to you in the proper everyday language what they were talking about. No big words, real down to earth. It was an exceedingly good school, that school. Very good indeed. I thoroughly enjoyed my 6 months there.
Do any teachers stand out in your memory as affecting your life in any way?
The teacher in Cardbrook Street, I can't remember his name now, he was a mathematics teacher. And he was very good to me. Because he said that you had a mathematical brain, you know. And I think he used to sort of, not a teacher spit, but take a little bit special interest in me. But as I say, the teachers in that school were extremely good.
What was the discipline like in the schools you went to?
Well, believe you me, if you done anything wrong, there was no cane as they knew it. What you got was a strap, a leather strap, which you held your hand out and it whacked across your palm. And there was no good going home at night and saying, I've been stuck. Because if the teacher got to know, you just got another one the next day for telling tales. So you kept quiet about that. But if you get out of hand, they sent for your parents. And that was all sorted out. And that, other than the ones being expelled, that was the only trouble I ever had at school. As I say, I thoroughly enjoyed that school.
You mentioned the fact, you mentioned boys' brigades and things. Did you join those organisations?
I was in the boys' brigade for a while. And then I gave that up to go into the Salvation Army. And then I played in the band for a year or two. Until one day when we were playing, I don't remember the tune, I played the wrong note. And the bandmaster rapped me knuckles with his little baton. And I put my instrument down and finished. I mean, one false note, because to him it would sound a real bad. But I started on the cornet, then the euphonium, and I finished up the trombone. But that finished, and then from then on, I never went back to the Salvation Army.
Were your family musical? The parents, did they play instruments?
No, not. My mother, as a Salvation Army person, they played the
drum. It's the thing, the shake and the
bells. I know the bells. Yes,
and tambourine. Tambourine.
And she finished up, she went to the Salvation Army, I should imagine, 40, 50 years. And she took a great part in what they called the Home League. She was the secretary of the Home League, where it was like today's mother's meetings. Once a week for a cup of tea and some sandwich and that. Father didn't take a great deal of interest in religion. No.
So what was it that set you on to play musical interest? Was this just your own pure interest itself?
I don't know. I just fancied playing a cornet. From many, many years ago, listening to some gramophone records of the great Nat Ganella. He was a great trumpet player. And I just went from there. And as I got older, as the bandmaster told me, my lips started to get broader, which I couldn't get into the mouthpiece of the cornet. Then, of course, I had to move up to the bigger mouthpiece. And I enjoyed the trombone. I was rather good at it, actually, to be quite honest. But that rapping the knuckles finished me.